You're listening to 3Fuel Podcast, a podcast about the most advanced sports nutrition and sports recovery product on the planet. I'm your host, Aaron Olson. For more information, go to 3Fuel.com. I'm here today with Brian and Aaron McKenzie to talk about the creation of 3Fuel. Brian is the mastermind and creator behind 3Fuel. Aaron is the elite rower who holds two Olympic gold medals in the women's 8-plus event from the 2008 Olympic Games in Beijing and the 2012 Olympic Games in London. Brian created 3Fuel, but Aaron is the guinea pig who tested it out to prove that it works at the elite level. How's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Aaron.
Hey, it's great to talk to you guys today. Aaron, let's start with you. Tell me a little bit about your background into rowing and to sports in general. How did you get interested in athletics?
Well, I had a brother that was about a year older than me, and so there wasn't really any other way. I tried to do whatever he was doing and keep up with him. He played t-ball, so I played t-ball. He went and, you know, did indoor soccer league, so that's what I wanted to do. And I just basically tried to compete with the boys and follow in his footsteps as much as possible. And that is how I got into sports and pretty much stayed there, because I realized once you start competing with the girls, it's a little bit easier. But still, you know, it obviously, you know, I've tried just about every sport, and I never really excelled in anything. I was always just pretty good. I had, you know, good work ethic and, you know, tried really hard. And, but it wasn't until I found rowing, when I started my freshman year at college at Cal Berkeley, that something really clicked over. And, you know, I attribute it to, you know, one, just being in the right time, the right place, but also the other girls that were on the team and the coach that was there at the time too, just really knew, they all knew how to work, not just hard, but effectively. And I, you know, took off with that. And from there, you know, our team went really well. We won two national championships while I was at Cal, and that put me on the radar for the Olympic, you don't call it the Olympic team until the month before when you actually make it, but the national team, the U.S. rowing team. And from there, you know, it wasn't smooth sailing there either, but just stuck with it. And let's see, I rowed for about 8 years. Okay. On the U.S. team. So,
okay. So how did you get interested in rowing though? It sounds like you didn't pick it up till college. Is it a pretty popular sport out there in California?
No, it was actually, so my dad, put a newspaper article on the kitchen counter, you know, my senior year in high school, I think it was in the spring, of this girl who is the town over, and she was training to go to the Olympics, in rowing. I, you know, played basketball. Her high school was our rival high school. And I was like, no, if this girl from Turlock can do it, I can do it. I had never thought of going to the Olympics, otherwise or before that, but I guess just maybe I was born competitive out of the womb, but just seeing that this girl was, you know, going to go to the Olympics, in a sport, and she came from a rival high school, I was like, I'm gonna give it a try. And so that kind of was the straw there. But I walked on to the Cal Berkeley team. You know, I actually tried to contact some other coaches from other universities on the West Coast. I knew I didn't want to go too far away from home. But since then, rowing has actually gotten pretty darn big, especially on the West Coast. It's predominantly was an East Coast sport before. They have it in high school and whatnot, but now it's growing even more because of Title IX, which is you have to have as many women athletes on your roster at a university as male athletes. So a sport like women's rowing is a great sport to balance out big football schools.
You know, Aaron, it's a real privilege to talk to you because you're such an elite athlete and you've really thrown yourself into this sport. And it's interesting to see what kind of training it takes to get to that top level. Tell me a little bit about, you know, when you were at that top level at the before the games, the Olympic Games, what kind of training did it take to get there?
There was a lot, and there was a lot of busy work too. But, you know, sometimes you have to go wax it from both ends to figure out where's your sweet spot. But, you know, we had quite, when I was training on the U.S. team, we have, and I believe they're still doing this plus more. You would wake up, do about 20,000 meters, so 20K, on the water. And then you would come back, get something to eat, possibly like about 3 days a week. You would go back and do a second practice in the morning, so AM2. And that would be, you know, sometimes you would go back out in the water or you would cross train for an hour or lift weights, and then go back home, usually pass out for about an hour or two. Actually, there's sometimes there where I took a 4-hour nap in between.
Okay.
And then we would meet back up for our third practice or second practice, you know, on 4 of the days in the later afternoon and hammer out another 20K or thereabouts, 16 to 20K, either on the erg or on the water. So, and it was pretty disciplined like that, having, you know, 2 afternoons off a week and Sunday off. So it was very regimented. And, you know, everybody did it. It was almost, you know, survivalist program, but it worked. Mm-hmm. I can't knock it because it definitely gave us 2 gold medals.
Okay, so at that elite level, I'm sure things like recovery and nutrition start to play a big role. When did you start getting interested in how nutrition affects your performance?
When I wasn't recovering. when I was getting injured and I was having the hardest time recovering from this, you know, high volume program, which is generally, you know, as an athlete, that's the biggest battle. It's not necessarily how hard can you go, it's how fast can you recover. And I started playing with it the fall of 2007. My brother actually introduced me to CrossFit because he said I was too skinny, and then I needed to get stronger. And so I, you know, was super fan, was glued to the screen watching and reading all of the information that CrossFit was putting out about, you know, nutrition being the foundation of a good program, you know, or a good athlete. And so that's when I actually started looking into nutrition more than just, you know, reading a label in the grocery store. So that actually was what started it. And, you know, I had my own interpretation. I became my own nutritionist, but I was still flailing a little bit. And it wasn't really until 2012 when I met Brian. Well, I met Brian in 2010. He was working with me with movement. But then in 2012, he actually helped me dial in my nutrition. And that was when I became the guinea pig for 3Fuel.
Okay. So you were having some trouble recovering. You discovered CrossFit and then you met Brian and he started to put some hints in your mind that maybe you could tinker with your nutrition a little bit more. Brian, maybe you could go into that a little bit, but maybe before we get to Aaron, tell the listeners a little bit about your background as an athlete and kind of how you got to this point where you're the expert, the CrossFit expert, and helping Aaron out with her nutrition.
I was an avid athlete as a kid and into my early adult life. My two main focuses the majority of my life were swimming and water polo. And then that kind of transitioned into triathlon for a few years, which then transitioned into ultra marathoning. At which point I was kind of, we'd redeveloped a lot of things with how we approach strength and conditioning for endurance sports, and even, you know, non-endurance sports for things like swimming, which are primarily short course things. That said, that was how we developed CrossFit Endurance. And then we, I had always been tooling around with nutrition, through this stuff. And as I was getting into triathlon, I got into coaching and personal training, and I kind of catapulted through the ranks of clientele and started working with more. I had filled up with clientele, and before I knew it, I was training trainers, and then I was working with higher level athletes, and then I opened my own facility, and we kind of had our own little testing ground. And that was where we really started tinkering with a lot of the nutrition stuff, and that's where I really found out that eating high carb wasn't necessarily the only option or best option for people to be using as their foundation for nutrition, especially within sports. That said, I had played around with SFH for a number of years, and we had helped kind of build their brand, and we were using their products, and they make great products. Jeff Layton is a highly, highly intelligent guy, doctor, PhD that, you know, he's just a mad scientist, and he created great products with what they did. And we were kind of helping them retool their endurance line. And it was something at the time that, you know, I wanted to believe that for endurance events, we didn't need to use a lot of carbohydrates. And, they had a product that was pretty damn good, and we just couldn't agree on like how good it was, and they wanted to go with to market with it. That being said, they have a great product for people who aren't who I don't think are looking for that higher end level. That said, we started toying with a carbohydrate, which is Thermacarb, which is what is in 3-Fuel. And I was asked by a friend of mine who actually had played a major role in the development of 3-Fuel. He kind of tossed some things at me, and he was like, "Hey, I know you're kind of the anti-carb guy right now, but why don't you take a look at this carbohydrate? It's interesting because bodybuilders have used it for a number of years as a way to create a glucose drip and get the body to burn fat versus catabolizing itself. And they take this stuff at night so they don't have to wake up in the middle of the night." And so he sent over the Thermacarb, which is an HDP waxy maize, and we started playing with that. And we found out really quickly that the Thermacarb worked really, really well, especially for endurance events. Like, we couldn't get a bonk going. So that said, we also started formulating proteins, and we were looking for much faster absorbing proteins than concentrates, because concentrates don't absorb that quickly. So, and most people we know have problems with digestion when they're training. So we looked into the isolates, and we found a hydrosylate, a grass-fed whey hydrosylate that really just empties out of the gut really, really quick. And so we mixed that with some baby coconut milk, which was the MCTs, which is a medium chain triglyceride, which is an immediately usable fuel source. It's almost like the rocket fuel of fats. Like, it isn't something your body is going to take in and store as fat. It's going to use it immediately as a source of fuel. Granted, it won't use it as fast as, let's say, you know, eating a piece of fruit, but it'll use the coconut, it'll use the medium chain fats pretty quickly as a fuel source. So we started mixing stuff, and we were all over the map with how we were mixing it and what we were doing. And we finally landed on a formula that netted us like 20 grams each of the protein and carbohydrate, and then about 5 grams of the fats. And we also added betaine to it, which helped, which is something that's lost in sweat. And we went out and continued to test this stuff for probably, I think it was right around 9 months before we actually allowed anybody outside of our immediate circle to even try it. And Erin became one of those people because Erin and I had gotten involved and started dating, and she was tired of eating the crap that they were, that she had been eating before. And so we sent it out, and her immediate worry being an Olympic athlete is the fact that she's tested. I think she was even tested probably 5 times when we were out in Princeton, which was only like a 3 month period. And it, her immediate worry was if she was going to test positive. And the only, you know, from our standpoint, there's absolutely no way she would, but you have to have, you know, understanding the mechanisms of manufacturing and what they're manufacturing at certain facilities and making sure it's clean. And we made sure all of that was in line. And so we got Erin, and I some samples to use out in Princeton prior to her training for the Olympics. And so we had had probably, I don't know, close to a dozen people that had tested it, but nobody at her level. And when she started using it, it just became the go-to for her to use, especially in the mornings, like right before practice. And she did very, very well on it. And it was like literally a staple part of her training.
Okay, that's a great story. So, Brian, it sounds like you've always been open to experimenting with new things and things like that. But here you have an elite athlete who's now your girlfriend. She's already she has one gold medal. And were you ever nervous about, you know, trying something new on such a high caliber athlete like that? You know, were you ever nervous it was going to go wrong? What gave you you know, what gave you that confidence that this would work?
Because I was, if it's going to work for me, if it's going to work for me and the 10 other people that was working for, there's no reason it wouldn't work for her. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of the funny thing is just like, is a lot of people want to think that even though elite athletes, that most things that work for people who are normal or general public, these are also things that are going to work for elite level athletes. There was no reason why it wouldn't work for somebody of her caliber. And in fact, it worked actually better for somebody at her caliber because it's so much more difficult for these athletes to get in the necessary food intake that they need in order to maintain recovery and get back to performing.
Mm-hmm. So, Brian, it sounds like you're always interested in theories and fundamentals, and once you get those basics down, you can kind of use that to help any athlete reach their potential.
Yeah, I you've nailed it. I mean, even my coaching, like even with what we do from, you know, a strength and conditioning or even movement background, it's like, look, it's all about basics and fundamentals, and if you can't apply these things and toy around with them, then it's really like there's no reason, like if you can't stick to these things, even though you're going to get really complex with things, you shouldn't be playing around with the complexity of it if you can't maintain the fundamentals of something.
Okay, Erin, so would you agree with that as well? I mean, was there ever a time where you were nervous about trying this out? What was that like the first few times where you tested 3-Fuel?
Yeah, and he lied. He was totally nervous. He knew I would have dumped him if it didn't work. yeah, you know, there was some hesitation, but for some crazy reason, I trusted him. Obviously, you know, knew that he wasn't gonna try to hurt me, but, you know, it was just one of those things that I was like, you know, I know what doesn't work, but I don't really know what does. And I know what, there's a lot of people that don't, that think they know what works. But unless you try something different, you aren't really going to find out if there's anything better.
Right. And it sounds like you were having a hard time recovering in the first place. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, that was the battle that everybody, it wasn't just me. Everybody was having that issue. So everybody was, you know, doing their own different little things and including myself, and, nobody was really mastering it. So I'm like, well, let's keep on going back to the drawing board and see if there's anything else out there that can help rather than just, you know, hammering at something that is only working part of the time.
Mm-hmm. So was this in the context of changing your overall nutrition, or had you just added 3-Fuel to the mix?
No, I actually changed the overall nutrition as well. But that came on, after that came after, for sure, because I was down in, at the Olympic Training Center for about 3 months, when I first met Brian and you know, there's,
right,
yeah, we're actually here now again, having a little, reunion, but, you know, the funny thing is the Olympic Training Center and what the food they provide there, you can make good choices, but you can definitely make a lot of bad choices there. So I was just sticking to the general principles and, taking the three fuel and felt a difference there. But then when I went back home, to Princeton at the time, was home, Brian actually came back with me and said, okay, let's go to the next level, and started adding more fat, dietary fat, into my diet. So meaning, you know, it would give me a spoonful of coconut oil to just down the hatch, you know, more bacon, more fat on the meat. You know, would just sit there and be like, no, you need to eat that. And, you know, especially, I mean, women especially, but there are definitely men who are afraid of fat and thinking that that will is a one-to-one relationship, which it's not. And that was also a leap of faith as well. I was like, you know, in rowing, weight does matter a little bit, in just that you need to be as strong, as efficient as you can, meaning like you had to be as strong. The stronger you are for your weight, the better, because then you're moving more boat. But you know, it definitely was a leap of faith to be like, all right, are you gonna make me gain 15 more pounds by just eating all this fat? And I didn't. And so I definitely saw a change there too. And I was satiated finally. I wouldn't bonk. And that was my monitor at the time, is if my energy levels go up and down and up and down, especially the downs, I felt pretty hard at the end of a practice. And then when I started adding fats in, and that didn't happen as much. I was hungry, but I was ready to go.
Okay. That's pretty cool. So you test out 3-Fuel, and it's got some healthy fats in it from coconut oil. It has some healthy grass-fed protein in it, and you're feeling great during practice. So then you go back and you say, well, maybe I can make an overall change to my nutrition as well. And tell me, I mean, you mentioned coconut oil and bacon. Tell me what your meals are like on a daily basis. What kind of things are you eating to get those healthy fats in?
Let's see. In the beginning of the day, I definitely have something with avocado in it. You know, I'll do coconut milk or coconut oil. Those are all really easy ones to do, you know, for breakfast or in the morning. I add that to a greens type of smoothie and makes it nice and creamy. Then in the afternoon for lunch or late breakfast, you know, that's when I do the bacons or the fattier cuts of meat. Probably some more avocado and, you know, olive oil, any kind of, you know, healthy oil is good. All the olive oils, coconut oils. What else am I missing? Seeds, oils, nut oils. Those are pretty safe.
Cheese.
Cheese is another good one. Yeah. And dinner looks pretty similar to lunch. So with that, you know, I actually, to be honest, erred on the side of going too hard, too much fat as well. And, you'll know when you do that, when you have your alone time in the bathroom. and so therefore I had to up my, leafy greens, to help my digestion of the fats as well.
Okay. So as you're doing this, is anyone else on your team trying to, you know, emulate what you're doing? They're seeing that you're recovering better, you're feeling better, you have more energy, or are they still skeptical?
Skeptical, but I do recall, you know, especially when I was in San Diego, I remember walking into the locker room and people looking into my locker, wondering what supplement I was taking, because obviously it wasn't natural the way I was recovering. Which I let them. I was like, yeah, go for it. You know, I'll take it as, you know, a compliment, I suppose. But, you know, it's funny. It's just such a, being, you know, a competitive athlete is so funny because it's hard. Everybody wants to go with what they know works. And it's like, you know, don't mess with it because it works. But a lot of them are just scared to fail and see what doesn't work, you know, sometimes. And that's the big difference. There was, I did talk to some girls, who had nutritional concerns about what I was doing. You know, the coach sent them over, but it's hard to follow through on. I think the whole fat and, you know, media is doing a great job of helping kind of break that paradigm. But, the whole fat makes you fat thing is a scary thing. And you kind of just have to jump on board with it to see if it works for you or if it doesn't. Mm-hmm. So no, there wasn't too many, disciples, but, after London, I've gotten quite a few, old teammates, and I'm doing some nutrition consultation with them now. So I guess in the back end of it, when it really did follow through and I didn't get fat, they're like, oh yeah, you go experiment on yourself. Have at it. Yeah. And we actually have two, there was a third that was an ambassador. She was going to do track cycling, but,
now she's
winning trail races. So, but she's on 3Fuel as well. So they're definitely, the word is getting out.
Okay. And for listeners who don't know this, you guys are actually married. So who does most of the cooking?
I would say it's like 60-40. 60. You are not 60. Brian is really good at doing dishes. He loves it.
Okay. So, and are you guys both on the same nutrition plan, I'm guessing?
No, actually. Brian is
much higher fat.
He's much higher fat. We'll have you tell
him. Yeah, Brian, tell me about that. So you're higher fat than Aaron. So what are you eating to get that, you know, healthy fat intake up?
I eat a lot of butter, a lot of I do red palm oil, I do coconut oil. That's typically in my morning. I'll blend that either in coffee or with 3Fuel in coffee. And then I won't eat anything. I won't need to eat anything until like lunch, even if I've trained. And then from there, it's just, I'll eat a lot of leafy greens kind of lunchtime, like salad type of stuff, but I'll have a ton of avocado as well. And some good meats, but my diet is really, really, really high in fat. I find that I thrive off of a higher fat diet.
Okay. Are you in ketosis then? Is that what it's?
No, I'm pretty, I mean, most days, yes, but I don't necessarily I've been there and done that and I've done it a lot. But I don't necessarily go and like, I won't shy away from a piece of fruit from time to time, or I won't shy away from something that'll kick me out I'll go right back in. I'm just not afraid of stuff like that anymore. Whereas when I was trying to be in ketosis, where I'd just be like, oh my God, how many carbs are in that? Is there any fiber in it? You know? And it's just like, I was constantly monitoring stuff like that and I hate it. I like just eating the higher fat diet. It bodes well for me. I just feel a lot better versus eating a lot of carbs and things like that. I just don't feel as good when I do that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but you know, I mean, yeah, but so like Aaron does not. Erin cannot do a high fat diet like I can. You know, she just does not assimilate the fat as well. And I know, and we've run into this issue with quite a few females where we've seen that they don't bode well on a really high fat diet, but males seem to bode a lot better on something like that. But that doesn't mean that, you know, they're not going to do well on a little bit more carb intake, especially at the higher level. You know, I mean, we do have elite athletes that, you know, we will have, and for the most part, what I like to do is we like to clean everybody out. And then I actually like to put people into ketosis and then slowly start to ramp up their carb intake, to find the sweet spot with their training, just dependent on their training. I don't like to weigh and measure stuff. I like people to learn to what satiety is and learning how to take in as much as they need so that performance is getting better. And as long as performance is the indicator, that's what we're looking for. So that's, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with stuff.
Okay. So you mentioned there that you like to kind of get people clean. Now, Erin, it sounds like she started out just by adding the 3-fuel. So how do you recommend people go about using this? Do they need to switch to a high fat diet, or can anyone basically use
this? Anybody, even a high carb athlete can use 3-fuel. But the problem would lie where if they were using 3-fuel in an event or some training, and then they were intaking sugar or something that has high glycemic carbs in it, because those high glycemic carbs will instantly set you over into burning glycogen and trying to use up that glycogen versus continuing with the fat burning and staying at that higher revved up state of fat burning. So, and I've actually tested all of that. You know, I've done stuff with some of the Vitargo, and I actually used to use Vitargo, until I just became very, very, very insulin sensitive, to where I cannot take stuff like that anymore, or I will bonk within like 45 minutes. And you know, it's that's where the problem will lie if you're using during training or an event, because your body can't switch back and forth that quickly. It can always switch over to burning glycogen very quickly, but it cannot switch back over to burning fat very quickly.
Okay. So, Brian, a few minutes ago, you mentioned that you like to use 3-fuel in your coffee, I believe you said. Tell me about some of you guys' favorite recipes for using 3-fuel.
Our favorite, I think, is the pudding, where I'll take like 2 cans of coconut milk, and then whole fat, yeah, as Erin said, and I'll put that in a saucepan and put that on like a low heat, and as it starts to warm up, I'll add 3-fuel, like 2 scoops of 3-fuel in there, and we'll mix that in, and then we'll add like 1/2 cup to 1 cup of chia seeds, depending on the consistency that we want, and then pour that into Tupperware, put it in the refrigerator, and you've basically got a pudding that is like just loaded in fat and got about 20 grams of protein in it. You don't need to eat that entire thing at one sitting, but that provides a great snack and something to eat, and it does not last long. If people are trying to get off of sugar and things like that, that is a great alternative, especially at night, to be eating, because it literally won't, you're not going to jack up insulin levels. You're not going to deal with you won't get the sugar pangs, because you're literally putting something into your belly, and it's going to create a feeling of satiety pretty quickly. The other one's like the 3-fuel coffee, where I'll put a scoop of 3-fuel in with my coffee, and then I'll just add some butter and either some coconut oil or some red palm oil.
Okay. And then you just put that up in a blender?
Just put that in a blender, hit it on high, and then just pour back into the coffee mug, and you've got a amped up version of coffee. It actually, because of the betaine, it creates a thermogenic effect, and you actually get a bigger coffee buzz than you would normally get.
Okay. Erin, how about you? Do you have any tips for people using 3-fuel, how they should use it, say, during competition or just on a daily basis?
Yeah, I like the little chia pudding thing. Was actually suggested without the 3-fuel in it before by a teammate of mine, and then just threw the 3-fuel in there. That's a great way to do it. I definitely like it before the workout or during, if you know you're going to have a long haul. after, I mean, like, and you know, it's now that I'm not training full time anymore and I'm coaching more, there's times where food isn't readily available. And it is a great, you know, just hold you over type of meal. It has all the three macronutrients are balanced pretty evenly. And so if I can feel my, like, you know, mental capacities and physical capacities going, then I will definitely make it shake. And that's better than grabbing a bar of some sort or, you know, any of the other worst options. But it definitely is, I would use it for before or during long efforts. And I've even seen that, you know, athletes who weren't eating particularly well, before, like, you know, had a big bowl of oatmeal. Okay, we're going down the glycogen route. And then, they would take 3 fuel in the boat with them rather than, you know, banana or goo chomps or whatever. And it turned out that that was actually, they sustained way better, than having, you know, keep on fueling the sugar train.
Yeah. You know, you guys have given me and the listeners some great ideas about how to use 3-Fuel and how you came up with it. It's a very interesting story. Do either of you have any final parting words about, you know, if someone's interested in trying this, but they're not quite sure, maybe they have a marathon or half marathon coming up, you know, what are some words of wisdom that you could give them to maybe take a step and try something new and keep experimenting?
Try it in training. that's the best advice. And it's something that seems so simple, but a lot of people like, oh yeah, no, I'm going to get this. I'm going to save it up for my marathon, but don't wait till your competition to try something new, because like I said, you shouldn't be afraid of things not working, either, but you gotta give yourself, be smart, give yourself the buffer in case it doesn't work.
Yeah, I would, in piggybacking on that, I think people should start it really 2 hours before they train, and then start, and then by taking 3-Fuel, you know, take it 2 hours prior to training, then try 90 minutes, then maybe try an hour, then maybe try 30 minutes. And that's really how it's supposed to be used, is when you take it prior to training so that you can really get the benefits of it. And then you can eat real food afterwards. And that's where the cornerstone of this and why we did it the way we did it was because it was something, because most people who show up to train do not, are working out in a fasted state. In fact, not fasted, not in a good way. Like people who have literally been at work, you know, and ate lunch and then they go to work out at 6 PM. So it's 6 hours later, they have nothing in their gut and they're basically catabolic at that point. Then they get dizzy and then they take it afterwards and then they go eat dinner. And yet they've had, you know, they just had a fast acting protein and now they're going to go eat another protein and they just had fat and they're going to add more fat. And it's just like, versus you take this stuff prior to training, you're already setting up the recovery process, which allows you to go eat food as soon as you want, because your body's already starting to absorb what it is that 3-Fuel is designed to do.
Great, great. Well, both Brian and Aaron, thanks so much for being on the podcast today to share with the listeners about how to use 3-Fuel, you know, what actually goes into it and how it can help athletes during competition.
Thanks for having us, Aaron.
Thanks, Aaron.
You've been listening to 3-Fuel Podcast. For more information, go to 3fuel.com or follow us on Instagram and Twitter with the handle 3-Fuel, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/3-Fuel. Thanks for listening.